101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Chicago Line is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance. Where we're moving on.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. No, this is not Chivago Line. That's why I had to find an appropriate song to play, because I'm moving on up from the 5 o'clock hour this week to the 2 o'clock hour. Yes, this is Pearly filling in for Chivago Line here on Z Live and Guardian Radio. Oh, this is exciting. I'm excited. A little nervous too, people, so I'm asking you to bear with me, work with me. Help me make this show a good show. So Brother Lang will be proud of me, and whenever he needs to travel again, I can help him out. I think I got him on the line. Brother Lang, how are you?
Yes, Brother Earl Thompson, how are you? And thank you so very much for stepping in for me to help us out. You know, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, with a group of young people from the Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Program, 11 and 12th graders. And so, you know, every day you're filling in for me this week, because we have a hectic schedule. I'm going to just do an update for you.
Okay.
You know, so all of them know I'm not goofing, and that's why I have someone as brilliant as yourself to help.
Thank you very much.
I
can take that compliment.
Thank you.
So you in hot latter.
I am in hot latter, but today is not. It's warm outside. But listen, man, what we have been doing with some of the doing today and our visits has been great. And I have actually some folks here I want you to hear from, because
we visited
H.J. Russell and Co. This is one of the more significant property and construction development firms in the U.S. And we were fortunate many years ago to connect with Mr. Paul Bryant, who's one of their vice presidents. And he's been hosting us today at this historic company. And so I'm going to talk to him first.
Okay.
So, Brother Bryant, again, thank you so much for hosting our students. And just tell them a little bit about the company and what we did today.
Okay. And who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Earl Thompson. He's hosting for me today.
How you doing, Earl?
I'm pretty good, my brother. How you doing?
Wonderful. I'm fine, thank you.
So good to hear you. So what's been going on? Tell me a little bit.
Well, you know, the students have taken a tour of the corporate offices of H.J. Russell & Company. And just the cliff notes on H.J. Russell, we're a 73-year-old Black-owned company here in Atlanta. And we're the largest Black-owned company in the state of Georgia, as well as the 25th largest Black-owned company in the United States.
Wow.
Our focus is on construction, program management, construction management. And we also do some property management and real estate development.
Okay.
And we have a sister company that does airport concessions. We're about a $300 million a year revenue company.
Wonderful.
And so these kids, Brother Earl, were able at the grace of Mr. Bryant to actually visit with the CEO today and walk through those corporate offices. It really and have a wonderful talk even by Mr. Bryant about some very important life skills.
And this is a very good experience for these kids to be able to travel and see these kind of companies and understand that there are some really good Black-owned companies out there, and we can be running the world.
Absolutely. You know, as the saying goes, what they see is what they'll be.
Uh-huh.
And this was an opportunity for them to see Black excellence, actually.
Excellent.
I mean, we are our office on the 16th floor of the Wells Fargo building in Atlantic Station. So we had the opportunity to look out at the skyline of Atlanta. And I mean, if you can look at a vision like that and not get a, you know, just a bigger vision for what and who you can be in life, something's wrong.
In fact, you know, mentioning Atlanta's skyline, Brother Thompson, We learned today that if you look at that skyline, about 60 to 70% of that skyline has been touched by this company.
Wow. Now, that's what you talk about, building a city and building a township. And Atlanta's a wonderful city. I love Atlanta.
Yeah, our company was a JV partner on the Coca-Cola headquarters building, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Georgia Dome that was imploded for the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Peachtree Tower, Georgia Pacific headquarters, Centennial Olympic Park. We're a historic company.
The Who's, you build the Who's Who of buildings in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, it's an honor and a privilege to work with this company and talk about the great things that they have done. H.J. Russell is truly a legacy company. Not only did he, you know, was he involved in building many of the buildings out of the skyline of Atlanta, but he's also a civil rights pioneer.
Okay.
He was on the inside in the inner circle with Martin Luther King and Ralph Abernathy and Andrew Young in planning and executing the civil rights movement.
Let me ask you something about your company. Have you done work outside of Georgia? Or do you do a lot? Do you do a lot of work outside of Georgia? I should be asking.
Yes, we have offices in Dallas, Savannah, and in Boston.
Outside the country, no. You see where I'm going with this, Zhivago.
Well, you know, not yet.
I'm working on it.
Let's say we're open to exploring all opportunities.
Wonderful. We're always ambassadors for our country, so whenever we get an opportunity, we always got to make a plug for the Bahamas. You know.
Absolutely. I understand you guys have some airport work that needs to be done.
The government has announced that it's going to be doing airport in Grand Bahama, and I think airport on most of the Family Islands. So there is some work to be done, and I'm sure when the bids come out, you should be seriously looking at it.
Well, absolutely.
There you go. Brother Thompson, we were able to hear from I think he's one of the most articulate, enthusiastic, invested fellas I've seen participating in anything. He's a wonderful name, Shikari Marang. I think I got that right. He's the Director of Innovation Solutions at what is called the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. Listen to me, my brother. This what they have here is phenomenal.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to let Shikari tell you a bit about it.
Shikari, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm well. How are you?
Thank God for life. At my age now, I start to say thank God for pain, because the longer I know I can feel pain, I'm alive.
I'll take either one of them. Just thank God. And in fact, that's what my name means. So the name Shakir in Swahili means to thank God. And as told, I'm the Director of Innovation Solutions here. So my goal is to build the physical products.
Okay.
We support about 350 Black entrepreneurs in this space. And I want to say that intentionally. Like, this is not minority. This is not underrepresented. These are Black people that we're focused on.
Okay.
And so 20% of those 350 have product-based companies. And so we have a warehouse where we have like an innovation lab where they can do 3D prints. They can make prototypes. They can make packaging. We have a small fulfillment center where they can come and they can hold their products and understand how to build a back-end warehouse and distribution center. And then we have a UPS store where they can learn to ship and receive their own products and empower themselves to run their companies. And so what we look at here is like a platform. This is not individual functions that you come in, you either win or lose. This is an entire ecosystem where everything works together, and it is specifically made for Black people to be able to fail and fly in a safe place for us. And it's just not many places, whether it be a hotel or a resort or even schools, where we can point to that and say it is intentionally set up for us to be safe. So that's what this space is made for.
That is wonderful. And that and you need more of that in the United States. And it's so good to hear that you're doing that. Developing black owned companies. So I have to say hats off to you. That's all the best I can say right now is hats off to you.
Outstanding. Well, use us as a resource. Any way we can be of assistance, anything you guys ever need, just make the call.
Well, Zhivago, I'm sure I'll be getting all the contacts and him and I will talk about it. And I look forward to hopefully meeting you one day soon.
Outstanding. Yes, sir.
Trust me, we're going to use them. I wanted you to talk to a couple of our students who are here. Come, Cassidy. This is Cassidy Stewart. Cassidy, you tell them which school you're from and tell them what you experienced today.
Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Cassidy Stewart. I'm 17 years old, and I attend Queens College.
You had to say that twice, right? I attend Queens College.
Now, just letting everyone know.
Anybody who knows me will know why I said that to you, and I'll tell you later.
No problem. But this experience has truly been wonderful. I believe it's been eye-opening because, like we've been told, a lot of young individuals don't get an opportunity like this. And so to be exposed to such major companies and understand how they run, understand how they work, it's not only giving me courage for my future, but it's also giving me hope that if others were able to do it, that I could do it also.
And what are you hoping to do when you finish QC? And like, I'm sure you're going to college.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I definitely want to take the entrepreneur route, what I would do in particular, I'm not entirely sure, but I definitely want to own my own business.
Super. That's wonderful. Glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Anybody other students with you, Chicago?
Yeah. We got Mr. Kaiser Briggs here.
Good afternoon. My name is Kaiser Briggs. I attend Windsor School, Bahamas. And I hope to be a software engineer when I grow up.
Wonderful.
It was an amazing opportunity for me that I will not take for granted. I learned that if you have an idea, big or small, you should continue to thrive to make it and execute it and never give up on it. And also that true leadership is connecting with your people and building strong relationships with them.
Wonderful. And what are you hoping to do when you finish school?
Software engineering. Wow. With a minor in business management.
Okay. I went to high school with a Briggs family. They were out of Grenada. Is that where you descended from?
Oh, no. My family's from Barbados.
Okay. Wonderful. Super. I'm sure you're enjoying yourself and absorb as much information as you can, because it only can help you and guide you in a better way as you move forward in life. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Surely.
Cohen Taylor wants to have a word with you, Brother Thompson.
Okay.
Good day, Brother Thompson.
How are you?
My name is Cohen. I'm doing good. My name is Cohen Taylor from St. John's College. I'm 17 years old. And what I experienced today, it's an experience I wouldn't take back. We were taught that as leaders, we must bring together communities to contribute and not oppose each other. Wonderful. So that's what I believe that a leader should do, and that I have been exposed to it today.
And what are you hoping to do when you finish St. John's?
When I finish St. John's, I'm going to college. Okay. I want to become a nuclear physicist when I graduate.
Wow.
College.
Amazing. That's really cool. I think we've had one, if I'm correct, we've had one nuclear physics. Brother Davis may have his degree in that back in the 60s or some sort of. He used to be at IBM ago.
Well, I want to become the second Bahamian nuclear physicist out of NASA Bahamas.
That'd be so wonderful. And I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
Now you know this name. This is Stephen Dean Jr.
See, I know your dad. How you doing, Stephen?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. As you know, Stephen Dean Jr. I attend a private school called Booth Academy.
Okay.
I'm my 11th year. I'm going to grade 12 after the summer.
Okay.
Some things I learned today. We were provided with a unique experience. We uncovered some secrets about the upcomings of a popular black business that's rising up in the ranks of the world. We learned different things about entrepreneurial styles and more so different types of real estate techniques we could use and practice if we were interested in that type of job.
And what are you interested in doing when you finish school?
Honestly, that is something I'm still kind of thinking of.
Okay.
I know.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
One thing I know, I'm probably still going to go to college at one point in my life.
Okay.
Like during that point in my life, I'll probably make my decision then. I know there are lots of courses there that helped you make your decision by then.
There's nothing wrong with that. I went to college at one degree and I decided I wanted to do something else and change my degree, and I'm happy for doing that. So it's nothing wrong with that. And congratulations on your trip. Any other students, Chicago?
One more. I went to university and studied economics only because that's the only thing I could find money to do. We got Donnay Stewart here.
Hi, Donnay.
Good afternoon. As Mr. Lang said, I'm Donnay Stewart. I'm 17. I am going into 12th grade at St. Andrews International School.
Okay.
And what did you take away from the program?
Okay. So far from the program I had taken away is that leadership is about using the opportunities you gain and taking action from those opportunities. So, like, today was a good example with Rice and the company that we visited today, where Mr. Russell was able to build a construction empire, basically starting from shining shoes in front of his yard and building up his the gained opportunities he got from plastering walls to becoming one of the most successful Black businessmen in America.
That's a great story.
I think that's a great example for all of us in this program to take back home with us and use that to not only better our communities in the Bahamas, but better ourselves, our families, and even our world at large.
Wonderful. And what do you hope to do when you finish St. Andrews?
Well, I definitely plan to go to college. I will go to college, and I'm going to become a data scientist. So I'll be working with machine learning and artificial intelligence, and I'm currently working on soon, hopefully publishing my first book.
You're serious?
So
wonderful.
I'm going to be an author.
And what is your book going to be about?
Well, I have two books I'm currently writing. One is a poetry book, and the second one is a psychological science fiction novel.
Okay. Creativity, that's wonderful. I am so proud of you. Congratulations. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Brother Lang, you seem to have some really good students with you.
Yeah, man, that's just the beginning. So you'll hear from some more of them as we go on during the course of the week. They got lots to do. And so listen, bro, thank you so much for making it possible for me to do this by subbing for me.
Not a problem, my brother.
I really appreciate it.
I just know you, so that's not a problem.
So tomorrow, God bless and have a great show.
All right, take care. Nice of talking to you. All right, Mr. Producer, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to get into what's going on around town, and we can make some noise with a couple of things today, and we talk about what's happening in The Guardian. This is Z Live on Guardian Radio. I'm Pearly filling in for Chivago. We'll be right back.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
We go everywhere. Shop early at Janae's Chesapeake Road annual back-to-school sale going on now. Get up to 20% off on all school items in stock. Yes, all school items in stock. Shirts, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, school neckties, BE shorts, and a variety of colors and school monograms. Shop early and don't miss out at Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road's annual back-to-school sale going on now. Remember, we go everywhere. Beat the rush and save, save, save at Janae's annual sale now.
I'm not afraid to take a
And we're back. I almost said it wrong. Show name Z Live. We're on Z Live here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Hey, if you want to call in, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And the text line is 422-4796. So let's see what's happening. First of all, that was a wonderful conversation with Chivago and Brother Russell there in Atlanta, Georgia, who have some of our up-and-coming bright young students. I didn't hear SAC, but I'm sure one SAC, so I probably can talk to that one tomorrow. But just to hear the way these young people articulate what they learned, and they only been there a couple of hours now. Ain't like they've been there for days and had to write this down and practice this. And so it shows me, as I always say, we have a good for young people in this country. There's a future for our Bahamas. So when we start saying that we ain't getting nowhere in 50 years, oh, we got somewhere and we're going places. And when you see people like Chivago Lang taking these young people and exposing them to business world, to seeing what other businesses in the United States have done, what black-owned businesses in the United States have done, and a company as big as that, that is wonderful. That's a wonderful experience for them. And I'm sure they're learning. Just what I heard from those four young people, they're learning something. They're learning something. Congratulations. I'm so happy to hear that. So happy to see that. So happy to know that they're getting this opportunity. Keep up the good work, Brother Lang. And young people, there's hope. There's hope in our country. And I keep saying that we have a wonderful future in the Bahamas. What's happening in the Guardian? The UN warning on Haiti. Secretary General say time of the essence to help Haiti. I want to know what you're thinking about that. How you feeling about that? Murder suspect on bail shot dead. Grand Bahama collects most gold. New Providence wins most medals. That's Bahama Games. Man drowns at Goodman's Bay. And the PM in Belgium for a summit. It hot out there. What are your views on this? I got something to complain about first. And I got to put this out there. And this is a message to the Ministry of Environmental Health. Man, we got to work on the garbage collection, particularly in the Chipinyan Bayntown area. They can't come once every 8 to 10 days. The last time they've been in Chippenham was July 9th, the 9th Sunday. It came on a Sunday afternoon. And then the problem is, I keep telling people this, in Seabreeze and places like that, you can leave your garbage in the garbage because they're properly done and they ain't got much fellas traveling around kicking over the garbage bins. But in places like Chippenham and Bayntown and Grandstown, you have to be on time with the garbage collection because them four-legged fellas like kick over the garbage tin. They don't care how much you tie it down. They can find a way to find a little hole to push. They pull one there and pull something out. So, people, you ain't been there since July 9th. Today is, what, the 17th? You do the math. It's a long time not to collect garbage in Chippenham and Bayntown. We need you there. We need you to come there twice a week. We need you there today. So, whoever listening, pick up the phone. Call the I ain't going to call you the director of environmental health. Tell them, start doing. These people got to do the job right. You're making, and they like, you don't know how much you're getting. You're getting some good, good change for the collection. It's a good contract to help. If you get the contract, come on, brothers. Reward yourselves properly by doing the job. You're getting a good contract. Do the job with some pride and get it done. I never judge on what you do for a living. I judge on how you do it, if you're doing it honestly. So, let's get out there, get in Chippenham, please, get in Bayntown. Put some relief for them, because them four-legged fellas, they full now, so you might as well come. They full. Right? So I like to put that out there. But I want to know what you're thinking about what's going on in Haiti. You know, I had a friend in Haiti who is afraid to even go back home. They're not here, so let's put that out there. They're not here, but they're afraid to go back home. There's a lot going on, and I want to know what you think about that. We have a call on the line? I see my producer. I see the line blinking. But we'll get to that in a second. But I need to know what you think about that. I need to know what you're thinking about. Did you enjoy the Bahamas Games? Did you enjoy the independence celebrations? I hear a lot of stuff going around. People are complaining about some things. Sparky, you got to behave yourself. Now, them things you were saying the other day. Boy, if you'd have keep some of them other words out, it would have been good to share that because, you know, it is hot. It is hot, and BPL is load shedding, and it is a struggle on us. I walk outside, and the problem is, you got to keep hydrated. You can't go outside like that. So you can stay inside. It's hot inside. So you can turn on your fan, you can turn on your AC, and you're just hot. Because when you see your light bill, you're extra hot. I saw something going around showing the increase in the kilowatt hours or whatever they charge. Don't quote me on that word. But this ain't good. This is not good, and this is just something else. There has to be some relief. The heat wave is killing the Americans. Fellas, I listened to the news earlier today. Say you got to wrap, put ice in a Ziploc bag and put the Ziploc on the phone to keep the phones working. That's how hot it is out there. And, you know, you've got 80-some degrees where the heat index is 100, 102. That's not good. That's not good. So people, drink your water, stay hydrated, stay cool. But Mr. BPL, we got to work something up because this is not going to be a very good summer if we get some tremendous light bills. And you ain't getting us no break. You can turn your light off quick if you don't pay your bills. So I don't know how we can work that. They see Grand Bahama collected most goals in the Bahama Games. What does that mean? That means that they had a great swimming team and they outswam everybody and that gave them a big jump. But they had some really good teams. 13-year-old girl was the star pitcher for the softball. That's an amazing feat. 13, 14-year-old pitching like that. She has a bright future and hopefully we'll see her at Alabama or LSU or Iowa or Notre Dame, one of those them big softball schools in the United States. That'll be something good to see. Ah, boy. New Providence got the most medals, and that probably is because of track and field. They did a really good in track and field. And then they were medaling in just about every discipline. So whether they got the gold or the silver or the bronze, they got a medal. Duluth had an awesome basketball team. I thought what I saw, the competition was good, and we had good competition. But there's some things that you need to talk about the Bahama Games. So let's take this caller. Caller, you on the line.
Hey, Willie, good afternoon, Lloyd. It's good to hear you from the 5 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Thank you so much. You know, I had to play that little song, I'm moving on up.
You know?
if only for a few days, I'm moving on up.
My brother, you moved up to the east side. I'm beyond.
What's happening?
Three great points here I'd like to point out.
Okay.
Recycling in this country. You know, with all these bottles and plastic bottles and so on and so forth, you know, and these companies that require usage of bottles, especially bottles that have their brand on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it would be quite interesting to see if they were paid at 5 cents or that 2 cents per bottle and have these bottles returned instead of person smashing them all over the streets and throwing them in the bushes and so on and so forth. I don't hear really any of the major companies that deals with bottles.
Well, the brewery still collects the collect Heineken, Guinness, Vitamalt bottles.
That's only some of the bottles I'm talking about, and we know about those.
Uh-huh.
These are the Aquapures and the Chelsea Choices.
Yes.
I'm talking about the glass bottles.
Okay.
You know, Pepsi, Coke.
What you're saying is you want them to go from the plastic bottle back to the glass bottle and then returns.
We still have some products that have the glass bottles, but even with the plastic, they should also encourage to collect the plastic because they are reusable. You don't have to remanufacture them or anything like that. Cleanse them out and reuse them.
I support that. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, when the government moved to ban plastic bags in the food stores, a lot of people went up in arms about that.
Yeah.
So I did a little research. Do you know there is a plastic island floating in the Pacific as big as the state of Texas?
Yep, I've seen it.
And when I tell you the biggest the state of Texas, this ain't no 50 miles. This hundreds of miles a piece. And they've moved tons and tons of plastic from that already and barely dented.
Exactly.
And it's a phenomenon that the plastics all migrated to one spot and form right there. But that shows to tell you just how much plastic that we've polluted the world with. So when you come down to that and about recycling or returning plastic or whatever we do, I support that because anything to maintain the ecosystem and to stop this global warming, because that is a situation that we have to look at seriously.
Exactly. Well, that's just one of the thoughts.
What's your next point?
The second thought that came across my mind, I want to know in the Bahamas, or especially in Grand Bahama in particular, seeing that we refer to Grand Bahama as our industrial capital of the nation, is there anyone really serious about making solar panels in this country, not just for domestic use, but also for international use? We have some of the best water. We have some of the best sand. And so far, I haven't heard any push to perhaps even if Bahamians aren't up to that level yet, but at least start the industry there where these persons who are actually in the business of selling solar panels and installing panels. I mean, there's nothing better than having a plant here where we could get them cheaper, perhaps move that price over to the consumer cheaper, try to drum up business for many of the households to invest, even though we know that it's not the solar panels per se that's expensive, but the batteries. Even right down to my good friend Epic Battery and stuff. Perhaps they could even look into that if they're not doing it and try to help take some of this pressure off our dilapidated grid that is having problems with electricity generation. And perhaps, you know, look into that as an industry as well. That's also a point where young Bahamians as well as some of the older folk can get into that and produce some of the products that we desire so much here in the country. I mean, sun is our number one natural resource.
It's an open market because, I mean, if you look in the papers this morning in the business section of The Guardian, the PM confident government will meet 30% renewable energy target. And the government has pledged for the energy that we're using, the 30% of it to be renewable energy by the year 2030. So what you're saying is, and based on what the prime minister said, what the former prime minister was saying, what the former government, what this government is saying, is that the market wide open now for young people, for other people to grab in something new and build on a new industry. Because we got the sun. And you know what? Not only the sun, you know, and a lot of people don't realize it, We got the water running as well, the ocean.
Ocean currents.
We have ocean currents, and we have the Bahama Banks, and you can't say that because hurricanes come because they do it in the Northern Sea, which is north of Great Britain, and in the weather, you can't get no worse weather than that. So it can be done.
So there's just some of the ideas that and I did some research on some of the stuff I've spoken about.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that there are many other persons out there. You see, primarily what I'm saying is we are right now lacking for industries in this country. We cannot only depend on the foreign interests to come in and start businesses, but we have a lot of brilliant Bahamians here who desire to start industries, but yet, you know, we lack the capital per se, the financial capital to do it because the banks are not going to take a chance on Bahamians to actually get into business. That's not their thing.
Okay.
So we have to find ways to see how we are going.
And you know, and hopefully the small business and small medium business.
So thanks for taking my call.
But I thought you had three. That was only two you gave me. I thought you had a third thought.
The third one I'm going to reserve for a little later because I'm pretty sure somebody's going to bring it up. And then I'll opine on it once the conversation gets going.
I got you. No problem. Thanks for calling. Appreciate that. But the renewable energy argument or the renewable energy suggestion is something that we as Bahamians, and there have been some people like Graham and others who've been talking about this for years. Yes, and in terms of solar energy, we may not have enough space in New Providence to get it done, but we surely got the space on the other family islands. We surely got the space in Grand Bahama. We surely got the space in Andros, Eleuthera, Cat Island, Exuma. So Inagua. So Inagua don't rain it. Inagua got plenty of sunshine. So it may be something that we need to look at, but it's the capital investment you need. It's the support you need. And he's pretty much right. I agree with him. These banks today aren't into so much risk lending, per se. So they need some investment from other private enterprises or the government, and hopefully the small and medium business department, I want to say, would be able to seriously look at some of these things and encourage this kind of investment, this kind of entrepreneurship, so that we move away from the oils and get more into some renewable energy. And so I support the government, and hopefully that we could be by the year 2030, use 30%, be 30% of renewable energy for all energy we're using. That would be a significant help to this country and to the pocketbooks of many Bahamians. This warning and the headline, UN warning. And before we do that, let's take a quick look at the business. We talked about PM confident government will meet 30% renewable energy target. I want to know what you think about that too, because like I said, I support that 100%. Imports up 22% in first quarter. a lot of times we put these headlines and we make these statements and we don't, for lack of a better terminology, quantify it. I expect in 2023 imports to be up in the first quarter from 2022, considering we just came by making the end of, we actually from lockdown in November 2021 and came from the lockdown for 2 years. I expect to see increase in shipments. I expect to see increase in sales. What I are seeing and we're not talking about is the shortage in a lot of things. Excuse me. Has anybody tried to buy some water this weekend? No, let's rephrase it. Buy ice? There was like, I drove to about 4 or 5 different service stations and full disclosure, within the Western District, you know, Oaksfield and out in the West Bay Street and Chipping Arm and around in that general area there. Not one gas station had a gallon bottle of water. They had, some had 1 or 2 small bottles of water, but nobody had ice. So is that, I don't know what caused that. Is it because we just partied so hard during independence and we spent everything? When I say spend everything, used up everything, and supplies weren't properly ready for supplies, or is there an issue? A lot of things have not been done. So when we see imports up, let's look deep into it and let's get a pure analysis. I have a problem when people brag about things are better in 2023. I expect them to be better in 2023. They should be better based on what we've gone through in 2020, 2021, and the beginning of 2022 and moving into 2022. So if things went better now, I'd be really concerned, and I'd be questioning why aren't they doing better now? Is it because the thirst or the hunger for North Americans to travel? Is it because we're doing good promotions? What is it? What are we doing that we're causing us to have this growth? I can tell you it's because the U.S. economy is opening up and people want to travel. People want to do things, so we're going to see a lot of things. Things we weren't buying in 21 and 20, we're now buying. We're trying, and a lot of supplies dwindled, so they're replenishing, so I'm sure the orders are bigger. So that's Pearly's analysis. I could be wrong or wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Youth must be made aware of blue economy opportunities. So we keep hearing blue economy, orange economy, and all this. So I was kind of, so I guess what the PM is saying is that there are things that in the ocean, outside of this tourism and fishing, and sailing and stuff like that, that we can use to make more money. Things are nutrients and stuff in the bottom of the ocean, and so that we must make our youth more aware of what the blue economy is about, so they can want to take more opportunities in the blue economy. More opportunities outside of just the tourism part, outside of the basic things that we've been doing for the last 200 years or so. Let's get into something new. So I'm encouraging more young people and parents, get your kids to look at what the blue economy is about. Look at what some of the benefits are from the ocean. Okay? Hallmark announces Christmas-themed Nassau cruise. That's the Hallmark Channel now. Christmas, they're having a cruise from Miami, Florida to Nassau and the Bahamas. That should be kind of cool. That should really be kind of cool. Because remember, Hallmark, that's a mushy, mushy company now. They're the ones who put out all these mushy, the Christmas cards and the birthday cards and all that. And so for them to have a crew, that could be a kind of a, more of a romantic type thing. That should be kind of cool. This was a set sail November 5th to the 9th, 2020. Oh, that's next year. The Norwegian Gem, which will be decorated everything Christmas for fans to enjoy the holiday and network films of true Hallmark style. You know, that's something I like to do. Something, yeah, call me corny, call me whatever you want, call me, but something like that I would like to do. I think that could be kind of cool, be kind of nice just to start. And the Christmas season kicks off, that's early November, but that's be kicking Christmas off right after Halloween anyway. So the Christmas season kicks off with a nice Hallmark. You go on the cruise, enjoy. I'm sure they're gonna have the nice Hallmark movies, probably get an inside tip on a couple of new Christmas cards and stuff like that. That sounds like a lot of fun. That's only something I would like to do. Anybody else want to do that? Try that out. That should be interesting. That should be real, real interesting. All right, so I'm concerned, like I was started to say earlier in reference to the warning that this UN Secretary General made about Haiti. We as Bahamians and we as the Bahamas, we need to seriously take a look at this, and because we're the ones who probably being affected the most by what's going on there in terms of immigration, illegal immigration, people trying to get out of Haiti want to come to the Bahamas, you know, between Nassau and between the Bahamas and Miami, probably getting the most impact. So we should be at least paying attention to what the UN is saying, paying attention to what suggestions are being made and what warnings are going out there. You know, I had a friend that lives there and had fled and travels a lot and goes back and forth, afraid to be there, lost a family member to the violence, had their house attacked, shot up. So the violence is really, really bad there. Most of it is really just in the port of So when you know when we look at it, let's not say the whole of Haiti, because you know we tend to look at one, we tend to look at it and just try to stereotype it to the whole country. It's just basically in the Port-au-Prince area. But there has to be, and a lot of gang violence, there has to be something done. And the UN needs to, other countries around the Haiti needs to come in the Bahamas in some degree. I don't know how, but your suggestions would be, you know, tell me what you think they should do. I'm concerned about that as a Bahamian, as looking forward and looking how our economy needs not to be overwhelmed, needs not to be overburdened. And not that we're not open to helping people or wanting people to come. Yeah, we want you to come to the Bahamas, but when we're being overburdened and we can't do what we're supposed to do for ourselves, that creates a problem. That creates an issue, and I'm sure some people want to comment on that. Is the bail thing working? Is the ankle bracelet and people out on bail, should more restrictions be put on these people who are wearing ankle bracelets, who are out on bail for this? Should they be allowed to go clubbing? Should they be up and down the street? Should they be conform to a certain a restricted area of their neighborhood? And I know it's hard to say you live in Bantan and you can't go and you stay in a restricted area and that you ain't gonna have a club close by or in Nassau Village or Grantstown or anywhere. But my question is, should there be some restriction? I think there should be. I think if you out on bail for murder, you should not be allowed to venture 100 yards, 200 yards from your home. You should stay around. You should be able to stay there. For two reasons. A, you can't be living free, feeling good. But the thing is, stuff that would happen this weekend is what happens when he's out on bail, he's going partying, he's hanging out, getting an argument. The person he killed, family member, a friend, may see him, then it escalates into what we don't need to have. And then we have, then that friend come and back and forth, until we learn the proper conflict resolution. I think there's to be more restrictions to the bail act. I think there's to be more restrictions on people who are out on bail. And I don't know, be Mr. Producer. Let's see. Hey, caller, you on the line. What you saying?
Hey, what's saying? There you go.
In the news complaint, turn your radio down. Listen to me on the phone.
Yeah, you're talking about this ankle braces, man. That's a new fashion. I was downtown. I ride downtown. I see but three or four of them with short pants on, walking downtown in the midst of tourists and everything with them on.
So that's their street cred. That's what you're saying?
Spread out on the beach with them on. You know, so these guys, they ain't feel shame. They ain't even trying to put short or long pants on. They just wearing these up like, you know.
They make you a done dollars up, mate.
I tell you, they ain't even trying to put on a long pants on. They wearing short pants straight too.
And that goes to the question. So you think there should be more restrictions on them? They shouldn't be allowed to go partying and hanging out and stuff like that?
That's correct. But if they're showing people them they bad boys. Or they just are not, you know what I mean? Because if you feel shame doing your act or whatever you did, you're being wearing short pants. You don't want to never know you had them on because you had them big pants on.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say you are at a beach picnic and you see two or three of them coming in. Are you comfortable? Are you going to stay to the picnic?
No, man. Only way I stay, there got to be someone who I grow up with. Grow up like that. You know what I mean? And then anything, if I see something suspicious or whatever, I go on because then you got to realize a lot of people getting killed with ankle braces on. So that means something really liable to happen.
I got you. So you're saying you're one of them for more restrictions on the bail, more tougher acts on the bail act.
Yeah, man. They don't need to be traveling around the place because if you're doing good, you had the privilege to walk around. Then you know what I mean?
What about I'm innocent till you prove me guilty?
Yeah, but innocent be proven guilty. I mean, like, if you getting ready, can get hold of one for the same crime, and you coming back out again, you got to be, you know what I mean?
I got you.
You can't walk no more. You used to walk, you know, you get it, you put the ankle brace on them first, take it off, then you put it back on again. That means the discretion, wherever they go, that's limited. You
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
First time, you could maneuver around, go to church, whatever, this and that. But when you can be getting the migraine braces on more than once, you take out the limit of the movement.
Stricter. Okay.
Stricter movement.
I appreciate the call, caller. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good day. Mr. Bedusi, we'll take our second break. When we come back after the news, we'll talk more Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Pearly filling in for Javal Galang. We'll be back right after the top of the hour.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Are you dreaming of the perfect summer getaway? Apply for a debt consolidation or personal loan to win an airline ticket to Paris, Miami, or New York. Win up to $2,500 in cash and more. For details, call 356-7764 for Nassau, 602-6811 for Freeport, 823-4374 for Abaco.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Gardeners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
I marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
It's showtime.
Yeah. Tell them the name they say is running the game.
It's time to attend the Michael Scootery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic Game. Nightly at the Hope Center, Monday, July 24th to Friday. Join us for our family night on Sunday, July 30th. 5 p.m. until at the Kendall Isaacs Gymnasium. Featuring all our championship games.
King and his gang.
The Mr. Shipman 3-Point Shootout. The IHOP Slam Dunk Contest. And the game between the clergy.
Hallelujah.
Versus the politicians.
It's going to be epic. Taking
the game's mine.
Sponsored by Radio House Outreach. This event is powered by the Bryce Newbold Foundation. Peace on the Streets 2023.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Z
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
And we're back. Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I got to pause and think to make sure I say the right show name. Because, you know, I move on up to the east side. First hour done. 1 more hour to go. Let's see how this goes. And let's see. We got a text here. Let's see what this text I got to say today. Most large countries has money to fight wars. Billions. But very little money to feed the poor. Wow, man. And was it a movie I was watching or something? What he was saying? No, it was a WhatsApp viral thing saying if roads more important than lives. And I had to disagree with the person because roads are important. Because if I'm trying to get to work to make money to feed my family and I hit in a porthole and my car break up and I can't get to work, don't I lose out? Isn't my life hurting? Isn't my family's life hurting? So it's the collective that everything is important. We got to find better food security. We got to have better roads. Lord knows, BPL, you got to do better. And see, I got to be guided by how I row because I don't want people to think I row because I think in another way. So understand that while I do this show, this is Pearly doing the show. This is nobody else but Pearly. And that's why I continue using this name, Pearly, and not my government name, my government name, or my legal name. I use Pearly, my nickname, to understand that. Like Clark Kent and Superman, this is a different person talking today. So when I talk in, and I can try to be as balanced, as honest as possible. And I'm going to call, I don't see something right, I can say what I disagree with. And hopefully Chicago will still want me to come back again another time. But the bottom line is we need better food security. And I have to agree with you. Call a lot of large countries. And I got in a discussion with a young man the other day. Good brother that my ex-wife used to say, boy, you used to be helping more of these young people and getting them out of trouble than your own children. I said, but my children don't give me nothing to be, they don't get in trouble. So God has blessed me with two great young men for sons and a beautiful young lady for a daughter that I know that they're doing well, that I know that they're going in the right direction, and I don't have to be going to no jail and nothing to deal with them. So I look at it as a blessing that I can help some other young men to get their life together. So this particular young man and I were talking, and he's getting very frustrated in trying to get to clean up his act, clean up his record, get his life together, to move forward in life. He's put that, what I call foolishness, behind him, and I've been trying to assist him in getting moving in the right direction. But he's saying, there's nothing here. We joking, me and this, and I'm trying to argue with him, no, we ain't where we supposed to be as a country, but we got a lot to be grateful for. And I say to him, so where are you going to go where it can be better? Jamaica? Barbados? Cuba? United States? No. He said, again, in Canada. I said, what makes you think it's better in Canada for a Bahamian, a black man, Bahamian, than it is for the Canadian or better here? And that goes to the argument that I have, or the point I've tried to raise in life is, we ain't doing enough to keep our young people here. I know so many young doctors and nurses who have left the country and not come back because they say nothing here for them. And we've got to figure out what we can do to have something here for them to want to come here and work. We have to take out our minds that I'm a doctor, and I don't want to say doctor because somebody shoot me, not gun, but beat me up or row me or say something. I'm a professional, and I want to make $10 a week, and I'm going to use these figures just so we don't get no semantics. But if I go to the States, I can make $25 a week. 300 and some million people. They have a trillions of dollar economy. Same thing with Canada, Brazil, Europe. We're a small country of 300 to 400,000 people. We have a $1 billion economy. So I can't pay you the $25 a week. I could pay you 10, maybe 15. But it puts the question, what am I getting into the profession for? Is it for the financial gain? And of course, you're going to work to make money because you got bills to pay. So I ain't taking that away from you. Or am I in there because I want to be this profession? Do I want to be a doctor? Do I want to be a lawyer? Do I want to help? Do I understand that the economy that Bahamas Inc. is generating, I make millions as I can make in the States? Or should I go to the States and make that money and in 5-10 years come back and contribute to my country? But why should I come back if I'm uncomfortable over there? We encourage our kids to go off to school. I put 3 through college. 3 through college in Minnesota. Wasn't easy, but they made it through. But, and I'm happy that they came home to live. I might learn to doctor or something, but the point is, they came home to live. We're encouraging our kids to go off to university. And so when they see better, and let me give it a second. I left home in 1981 to go to school. I was at a bank making $12,000 a year at 19 years old. Went off to school and came back 4 years later with a degree in management, bachelor of science degree in management. And I got offered a job at another bank. I'm not going to call the bank's name. For the same $12,000 a year. But when I talked to, and you know, you're in economics class, this is May, getting ready for graduation, kids are interviewing, kids are getting jobs, so they're happy to get jobs, still coming class. Oh, I just got a job at IBM for $32,000 a year or $26,000 a year. Yes, they pay taxes. Yes, they're getting cut down a little bit. But when you see them making that, and you come home to the same $12,000 a year after 4 years with a degree, it is frustrating at times. And you can't see you promote yourself to make the kind of money that your counterpart that you went to college with. We've got doctors in this country working 80-hour weeks. And we got Bahamians who are going off to the States for doctor and make and working 30, 40-hour weeks and making two, three times the money that the Bahamian doctors are making. Is it fair? I can't say it's not fair. I can't say it is fair because knowing that the hospitals, some of them working on multi-million dollar hotels, hospitals generating millions of dollars a year are able to pay. You know, when they're charging you $5 for one Band-Aid and $50 for one gauze. And I'm exaggerating a little bit of figures, but they can do that. But you're not going to generate... You know, so you got a person get sick in Ohio or New York or wherever. They got insurance to cover that $350,000, $400,000 bill. But they get sick here. They can go PMH. They ain't got no money. So and because the hospital that we're helping so many people for minimum or no monies, it is a strain. So how can I pay you more money to stay here and bring your expertise here? And blame you if you decide to go to the States to better yourself. How do you do that? How do we encourage them not to go? Where do we find the way to want them to want to stay? And then you hear in some professions, the young and I ain't saying they're right, and I ain't saying that, but you get the young people coming up who want to be the boss today. Yeah, I got my degree. Yeah, I've been on the job 2 years, but now I've been in charge. But what happened to the 50-year-old brother who's been there for 30 years or 25 years and you trying to push him out? He's going to retaliate because these young people want to take over today. And ain't nothing wrong with that per se. Don't get me wrong and call me and cuss me and say, Bailey, you're out there trying to kill it. No. I'm trying to look out for that, how we have the proper balance for that 50-year-old to make it to retirement. And yes, I'm dog, but trying to, and I beat him to pay out so soon because of this crisis there. That's a different story, a different discussion for a different day. We got a lot to be thinking about. And I'm just sitting here just talking and thinking about some of these things that I think we take for granted. I had a conversation with some other people the other day, and they're like, my thing's good, be damn good. But they ain't paying light bill. They ain't seeing how much the light bill going up. They ain't seeing how much it is now. You have to burn air conditioning so much. They ain't seeing all of that. So are we talking enough and educating and teaching our people and showing them what really is going on and not just doing the fluff or the fun stuff or the stuff that we can, the feel-good stuff. That's what I'm trying to say, the feel-good stuff. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to be real sometimes and talk about some things that are going on? And in particular, this UN warning on Haiti. We need to seriously not ignore this headline. We need to seriously take in consideration what the UN Secretary General is saying. Say who's shooting and fighting up and killing up and gang war in it. Then they start to jump on boat and come here. What do you think coming? But they bring it with them. So how do we help get Haiti back to a level or to not even back to a level where are they going to be able to feed? Yeah, there's a food crisis there. People are starving. How are they going to feed their people? What kind of programs that we as Bahamians could help? And listen, don't get me wrong now. I don't think I'm trying to say the Bahamas got to do it because we got to help ourselves too. Yes, we got to do some things for ourselves. But how, what do we do to say lend a hand? Because we're the country, Dominican Republic may be one, and Miami, but Florida, United States, outside of we're the country that's affected the most by what's going on in Haiti. We don't go anywhere in this country and be just here only English talking. I ain't knocking it. I wish I knew two languages. My Spanish ain't too bad. I could go to Cuba and survive. Not the way you're thinking. I could go to Spain and survive. I could order food. I could ask what something costs. I could get through. I could survive. But I wish I was fluent in two languages. Well, I ain't fluent in English yet. I still got to work on some of my grammar, but that's an asset. So when we look at the young, the immigrants or the visitors or the people who moved to our country, and we mad at them because they only speak in Creole when they're together, they also speak English. And you talk to some of them and they have the same Bahamian dialect, accent, and then when they switch over into the same Creole, that accent, that's a plus for them. And a negative for us. And when I say we all got to learn Creole, Spanish, French, German, Russian, maybe. And try, all this is part of making us a better and bigger country, you know, a better country, I should say. If we take some, so I'm saying, with this UN warning on Haiti, we need to look at this seriously. I would hope that foreign affairs or the government would have some think tank or some, because it was good to see former Prime Minister Christie went over there for a think tank conversation and to come up with some ideas. But where's he getting them from? Is they, are they his ideas, or are they just the Minister of Foreign Affairs ideas? Or are we talking to some lumbelders to find out, do they want? What do they suggest? What do they think? What do they want to see happen in Haiti that will affect the Bahamas in a positive way? If we don't get Haiti right, we can feel it more in this country. And this ain't got nothing to say in, I don't want you here, because the Bahamas survives of tourism. And if you come here, I just want you to come the right way. If you're going to contribute to our economy, let's contribute the right way. And I think we'll all get along a lot better, and we'll all move to a lot better. So that's my 10, 15, 20 cents on the warning from the Secretary General. I'm very concerned about that. What did you think about the Bahama Games? And I said something the other day in reference to the Bahama Games. And I won't be delicate in how I say this now. I got a message from some people, and no, I was not. And I'm not trying to beat up on the other radio stations or beat up on the national station. No, not I'm not. All I'm saying is, if Pearlie retire, why are you bringing Pearlie back to work when you got young reporters there that need that experience? The same people that they brought back to broadcast the Bahama Games and the color commentator, whatever the Bahama Games, were the same people they lose in 2001 when they had the Bahama Games, who weren't the veterans, was given the opportunity to work on the job and do. I wanted to see more of Charles Fisher. I think he's one of the best in the country. I wanted to see more of him. No knock on who they use. They're talented. Why are you bringing them back? Why, if I, you know what, I ain't going to say too much more, because I don't want, I can leave that one. I can move on from that. I can leave that one, because I don't want my friends down the road to think I'm trying to beat up on them. I just think that we have some young people coming country, and let's use them. Some talented sportcasters, let's use them. I love Jay Philippe. Let's use them. Grand Bahama collects more gold. So give me your views on what you feel about the Bahama Games. What do you feel about the Independence Celebration? I see somebody ask for the $2 million in Fort Charlotte now. This, I grew up in Chippenham. I always tell people, Fort Charlotte is my backyard. I call up. Let's take the caller, producer, before I get myself in problems. Let's take caller, you on the line. Talk to me.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I thank God for life. Or like I've been saying, thank God for pain. What's happening?
I don't know if y'all have an open line show today, but I was in and out trying to catch, you know, a couple of pieces, and I think right before the news I heard y'all talking about the ankle bracelet, but maybe y'all was talking about crime a little bit off.
No, today what I'm doing is I'm filling in for Chicago. Like, I deliberately didn't bring a guest today because I just wanted to feel the show. I just wanted to talk about what was in the papers. I just wanted to talk about what's on your mind. So yeah. Be an open line, and we can talk about. I guess you want to talk about
ankle. Well, it's not the ankle bracelet thing that I'm concerned about as a citizen.
Okay.
But I know recently, you know, the person who probably follow crime and the news and so forth. I don't know if persons, and I want anybody in the legal fraternity to call in an answer to my concern, which is just recently I would have observed the prime minister in the news saying to a reporter, in reference to the matter allegedly related to the member of parliament for North Abaco. In reference to that matter, I would have just observed the prime.
Not to cut you off, the member of parliament or the prime minister Abaco. I couldn't help myself. I had to draw that out there.
There's a spirit of misspoke seems to be on this administration. But anyway,
okay.
Moving along.
All right.
The prime minister, though, said that he would have had the opportunity to view the file and speak to the, I guess, alleged perpetrator. And as far as he would have been concerned, there's no foul, no harm, I think would have been his words verbatim.
That's NBA talk.
I'm trying to consider the prime minister get the liberty to make such utterances, pronouncements, or to actually do such a thing if, in fact, he did as he would have been saying himself. Like, what grounds does he have as the prime minister seemingly to be judge, jury, and executioner all in one breath? Like what kind of justice are we really asleep on that while it's taking place in our country?
Are you telling me you don't think this can be treated properly? It's not being treated properly? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, based on those kinds of pronouncements, I think the last I would have heard of it that I think the commissioner of police said that it went to the DPP. And I think recently, just last week sometime, the DPP said it went back to the commissioner of police.
Well, the commissioner made an announcement that it went to the DPP. Then the commissioner was interviewed last week, and he said that the DPP have given him, I don't want to say directions, but given him advice. So okay. He didn't want to say at the time. And so somebody made a statement, if you wasn't going to charge him, you'd have said that outright. Or
no, but
here's
what my ultimate concern is.
Okay.
Irrespective of where it is, what happened? What gave the prime minister of our country ground to say that he has had the opportunity to look at the file? Yes, you're the prime minister and the chief cabinet officer, I believe, assumedly. But from a legal point of view, in a matter such as that, with charges alleged such as that, how does the prime minister be able to make such pronouncements and, you know, it's just like business as usual? These kinds of situations and matters involving domestic abuse and rape and so forth are happening all across the country, and he's not personally getting involved. Crime is out of control in our country. And he doesn't seemingly...
No, man. Does the commissioner say crime down? The commissioner said crime down.
Man, if crime in the Bahamas is down, crime ain't down in the Bahamas.
The view of crime, you're saying? Are you still there, Carla?
Yes.
You said the view of crime ain't down. That's what you're saying?
The fair of crime.
Okay.
The fair index.
I got to give you that.
Happened, uh-huh. You know, the community is traumatized. If it happened next door, the neighbor is traumatized. The fear of crime in our country, the fear index for crime is gone down. And so, model sets from it just seemingly stinks from the top, come down, left, right, center. Like, as a people, we need to start to hold the powers to be accountable. And I don't care which color they are, whether they red, white, yellow, or blue.
So, okay. Like, I mean, it ain't nothing to do with politics. It's got to do with the country. Well, I go into a different experience now. I used to live Seabreeze. So I used to lay down and everything quiet. Now I live in Chippenham. Every other day I hear blah, 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 blah. So when you say the fear of crime, because when I hear blah, 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 the first thing I do is check my friend, don't make sure it's locked.
I was just recently on a family island. I think a vehicle passed with a flat tank or a flat tire at that time, and I duck and dodge. And they're like, what are you ducking for? Like, mom, I used to, when I hear sounds, I get low and get out of the way.
You from town. They say, you from town. The people ain't used to that. No, but my concern, and I have to agree with you, Carla. My concern is the statements that the Prime Minister made on that situation.
I was the former president of the bar, and I honestly, I just want a clear understanding of is that a clear case of being involved in judicial matters? Where is the separation of powers and duties and so forth for someone on the road to 50 to help me to clearly understand?
No, we passed. We on the road to 50. We on the road to 60 now.
Well, yeah, we on the road to 60.
But I have to say this, Carla. He is the Prime Minister, That is a sitting member of Parliament within his party. So I would think that he would have some view of what's going on to get a better understanding of what's going on. I'm not agreeing with what he said. I think he's wrong with what he said. I don't think he should have said that.
I
think he should have some idea, and he should be able to see what's going on so he can have a conversation with his member of Parliament.
Even so, wouldn't it also prejudice the case or matter for him to make such a pronouncement? But as far as he is concerned, as the Prime Minister, no fear, no harm, or something of that nature.
Well,
two persons could go back to the newscast and
call
him verbatim to what he said.
You got a point there, and that's not going to say bye. Let's see what these other people got to say, because I'm sure somebody's going to comment on what you had to say, and then I'll make a comment on what you say a little later. I appreciate the call. Mr. Benuzzi, another call on the line. Callie on the line, what you saying? Are you there? Hello? Callie on the line. I guess they can do long to come to that meeting, Mr. Producer. Let's try this next one. Call you on the line.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
I am good, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I didn't catch your name. Who's hosting today?
My name is Pearly. They call me Pearly.
Oh, that's Pearly. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, my brother. How you doing?
Okay. So you're hosting for Z Live today.
So you know my name? See, I feel good now. You just sound like you know me. Hey, Pearly, that made my day. Thank you so much.
I was listening to the voice, right?
Okay.
But I was in shock.
Okay.
But certainly when I hear you with our boy, I definitely know who it is.
I gotcha.
It was a strange connection hearing you on Z Live.
Well,
right?
I got a phone call from Chivago. And he says, I want to tickle you. That's what you said. He says, I was listening to the other show, and I hear this person, Pearly, and I try to figure out who this intends him. So he said he had to call the boss, and the boss said, could tell him what he said. Man, I need you to do my show for me. So that's how it
is. I believe that that you bring a lot of balance in the conversations with your co-host.
Thank you.
And I enjoy in particular your sports conversations. And so now to be on Matters of State, I wanted to comment on some of the things. I just tuned in a few moments ago, but
okay.
I heard the last caller.
Okay.
Right? And I don't believe that. I didn't hear the statement from Prime Minister Davis, so I don't know with which you all were referring, right?
Well, there was a reporter asked him about the situation with the North Abaco member of parliament. He told him that he got a look at the file. He said, no harm, no foul, basically.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I don't see how that influences the case any which way,
okay.
In any material way.
Okay.
Like speaking, right? But what I wanted to comment on is I believe that the caller was very unfair, very unrealistic. And his comments where
in which
that,
way? I can be balanced now. He had some things to say, which is his opinion. So I can ask you, how was he flawed?
Right. And when he was suggesting that the Prime Minister doesn't seem to care about crime or solving the matters of crime. But first and foremost, That's not the responsibility for the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister appoints a competent Commissioner of Police,
okay,
who is responsible under the Constitution for developing a crime plan and who has a crime plan,
okay,
and who has been speaking to statistics relating to crime on every island in our country.
All right. I hear your point. I hear your point, but let's be real now. Let's be real now.
I'm not finished.
Go ahead. I can let you finish, then I can ask you one question. Go ahead.
Okay, right. And in the Prime Minister's capacity as Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, right, the Prime Minister has invested very heavily in providing additional human resources, ensuring that the training is there, the training program is there,
uh-huh,
the additional human resources, uh-huh, are there, in providing the additional tools that the Commissioner of Police, along with his top brass, has identified that they require in order to be effective on the ground with fighting crime, right? They have gone back and corrected a lot of the wrongs that was left in place with millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars being spent and being ineffective and inefficient with fighting crime by the former Minister of National Security and the former government.
Okay.
And so it's very unfair to make that blanket statement. It is untrue. I just hope that it's not deliberate, that it wasn't deliberately said, because then you could speak to another set of issues as it relates to...
Okay, all right. I give you your time. Hold on now.
Okay.
Let me ask you, let me throw two things at you now. Hold on.
Okay.
I used to chip in on boy.
Okay.
My wife and I ain't together no more, right? Mm. And I go there, and me and her have an issue, and she go to the police and tell the police, I beat her and I rape her. You think I can last 48 hours before I get locked up? I only asking that question. See, I know I ain't gonna last 48 hours. You ain't gonna last 48 hours. So you think it really fair for this brother not to go and answer? And listen, all I'm saying is this, you know. If you ain't gonna charge him, say that, let's move on.
Right.
That's
right.
All I'm saying. If you gonna charge him,
no.
Lock him up and let's move on.
No,
but the bottom
really.
Line, now hold on, that's one question. I asked you that, all right? So, all right, let me let you go back. Go ahead. Then I can come back to you. Go ahead.
Right. So just to speak in a very minute way that I commented made just now. I understand your point of view. The law should be blind and the wheels of justice should be carried out for anyone just as equally as is carried out for the person on top of the hill, as equally as it should be executed and carried out for the person at the bottom of the hill. And
okay.
So I understand and I can follow your perspective from that point of view. However, I can also understand what the Commissioner of Police was seeking to do and ensuring that he was very meticulous, ensuring that he executed and he turned over every rock possible and check it again to make sure.
And that's fine,
because,
you know. I respect that, but it's taking months.
Hold on,
you're turning over every rock on every island, eh? Let's be real.
Hold on, Billy. Because
I gotta go, but I can let you go ahead and take this and get this in.
Because at the end of the day, we are talking about someone who is a member of parliament, right?
Yes.
Who is a leader in the country. Right?
Yes.
And if their reputation is unfairly, unduly impugned in any way, shape, or form, that damages the country nationally and internationally.
And I agree with you, particularly if he says he's prime minister of a certain island. I agree with you, particularly.
Oh.
I agree. I can joke, Blue. I got to let you go because I got to take my break right now. But producer, look at me. No problem.
You did a good way to start that.
Thank you. We can take halfway break. Mr. Producer, we can be back with Z Live on Guardian Radio in a few minutes.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
We're back. Z Live on Guardian Radio. Oh man, that last caller, and then you really get all kind of people texting me, so I got to read all these texts because they try and blow at you, bro. But I can protect you. Dude throw the commissioner under the bus. Now, I ain't used to all the WhatsApp. What K-O-L-E mean? But anyway, he said, dude throw the commissioner under the bus. I ain't know what that quite mean, but I can go. Let's see what else. Next caller say, good day, Pearly. No one is interested in Anton Point. He really needs to get a life and stay off that PLP Kool-Aid. Nothing is never wrong with him when it comes to the... That's Anton. We can't get him for that. You are giving the PLP operator a lot of time, but I got to give everybody a lot of time. I tell you I balance, and I have to be particularly careful on how much time I give everybody, because you ain't going to say I play in my agenda. Anton is so lost, and that Kool-Aid he is drinking lost soul, so blind. Oh, Lord. Good evening. Please tell Anton, as long as he is associated with the sitting party, save his comments, because we know what he's a person who are based on how they speak. Focus on what is best for us as Bahamians. We need to get this place in order. The color in order. The color who called first was on point. The caller, he said color, but the typo, who called first was on point. Let's take this caller. Caller, you on the line. What's happening?
Hey, I'm Centurion Arrogant, better known as Pearly.
Please get a call. I want my government name out. How you know I ain't ducking one gal?
We ain't ducking a boy, man.
What's happening?
Listen, man. Give me my little 3 or 4 seconds. Let Anton talk kind of wild and me, right? See, let me tell you something, my brother. Nothing can change this country until we get rid of the Moses crew. And there's people who are 75 and old. I don't listen to a word they say. I don't listen to the Christian Council. You know, probably this is a lie, Benny. Police is lie. Civil service is lie. And guess what? These young people ain't getting a body no more. See, I listen to me, you know. See, this country, you hear what you say tonight. The guy from United Nations say we got to try to deal with the situation.
Uh-huh.
We need to deal with the situation. Yeah, government says deal with the foreigners or what you know. I hear my girlfriend Aaron Green and we say, we can hold that, let the two is spitting you and slapping. No one in the world can happen to me. That's why my children are working them kind of places.
Uh-huh.
Slavery or what? You spit on me, slap me, but God help you. You see? And I hope this commission of police, I don't hate him. He's a cat islander like me.
Uh-huh.
I hope he's a
good man. I know him personally. He's a good man.
The last appointed commissioner.
So you call him for the election? You call him for the election of the commissioner?
Yes, put him on the ballot. So if he messes up, the people defy him.
Hold on, let me ask you this. If we do that, right, you don't think that'll bring more politics to the commissioner's office? Because they can associate who run up with color.
No, my brother. You ain't here, they say. Be elected, put him on the ballot of power.
Let's give me an example. Last election.
Mm-hmm.
All right? FNM get wiped right out.
Yeah.
Let's say that they put somebody up to run for commissioner. And the people believe that commissioner is associated with anybody with the FNM, and he might have been the best man for the job, but he can't get elected because they think he ran that shape. Let me take you back even further. 2001, when we had the referendum on immigration and all that. And the then prime minister say, whoever win the referendum, win the election.
Yeah.
Then you got somebody else, God rest his soul, who come out and say, if you don't understand it, vote no. That referendum was defeated not because it wasn't a good referendum. It was defeated because we played politics with that referendum. So as a country, a small country like this, I scared to say less or lack. And I mean, and I understand what you're trying to say. And I hear what your point of view is. But I scared to have an election because I think the person can get elected because he associated with that popular party at the time. And you know, we changed government every 5 years, so you know.
But that's why I tell you, Furley, that's why I tell you, the people, we call them, get out here, man. Get out here. But next, I believe in young people. You've been like all these old people taking young people's job. I listen to you, good, you know, you've been in college and there's a couple of doors of pain. And one time ago, Furley, I said, well, I get mad with people who be sending college and they go and work in the season. But now I see why they're doing it.
No,
we get a brain drain.
Yeah, but see,
why? I see a lot of people, the Canadians and all these British, who say they like it. These white people don't like it, you know. They like our country because we be a stable country, our country rich, and all the persons are lying to us. I've been on Atlantis on the mark for 10 years of airspace. One woman come and say, JJ, we can pay money now, you know. See, our people be lost. They be talking about the wrong dumbness, man.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you one question before I go early.
Go ahead.
Fred Mitchell is a good politician. Smart. See, all those guys who went to jail, it's 2 things according to our law, you know. $10,000 fine or both 2 years in prison, you know.
I see that.
Mitchell is getting paid to go in our parliament.
I want to know who all in the clear.
See?
April, May, June, July. We done got almost 4 months and you ain't the clear.
Fairly, you can't wait. See, and I talk about civil servants too, you know. See the civil servants though, see? These people need to go to jail, you know. Now, watch where I come from now, because I love the Bahamas. I like the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
And when I say Bahamas, I like the 1972 Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
The Joshua Crew, not the Moses Crew, they didn't case,
you know. Oh, you like the Joshua Crew?
Oh, yeah, man. It's your time, you know.
Okay.
You all sit there and sit down and don't know, they can roll you and kick you on the backside. So, you know, we got the weakest journalists in history of the world. Our journalists weak.
Why you say they weak?
Man, they don't report. I watch some people on the same show. Get out. Oh, don't call the show. Do this. Don't do that. But there's a calling show. Dine a station. Get your own station.
I got you.
And I normally say just for my boy, Naughty. Can you come on there? But Juan McCartney, I would let on you, you know. I passed by the park today. The woman said, the internet's selling wicked. Now, hey, call y'all. If you only listen, there's a man letting fire anybody there.
Which park?
Mason, by the bakery. I've been building a nice park. It's about nice and good. No internet. The tourists come. We can't get nothing. I asked the woman today. She said, oh, they coming. Fire, echo.
Wait, which park? This ain't the park. This ain't Mason's real. This ain't main Mason Park.
No, that's Market Street on Blue Road, my brother.
Old Time
it's park, man. So I fall.
And ain't no free Wi-Fi there?
Nothing there. Nothing.
Okay.
And 2 years now, they joking. They want, but I come after you, but this is your talk show now. You can pay all the taxpayers' money. I can write a letter on you tonight when I go home. I time to take my call.
Okay, my brother. Take care. Thanks for calling. We have a text. A good day. Why do y'all let Anton come on and talk foolishness all day? The buck stops with the PM who is never in the Bahamas. Anton is singing for his supper. Oh, don't have an issue with the commissioner taking his time by it. Doesn't take over 2 months to question a person. The commissioner is a disappointment. The other MP case is a prime example. I can allow Anton to talk. I can cut Anton off if he's talking too long. He have his right to defend his party, to defend their party, whether I believe them or whether you believe them or not. So I ain't going to kill him for that. I can't kill him for that, you know. And maybe, you know, that's his view. That's all I can say. That's Anton's view, and I can let him have his view. Okay, whether I agree with him or not, you know. Whether I agree with him or not. But JJ had some good points. Young people coming up, yes. But we have to find the balance now, JJ. We got to find a balance that you can't push a 50-year-old or even a 60-year-old to the garbage line, to the dump yet, when they still have something to offer. How we do it is the problem. See, I ain't scared. What I do, I'm the oldest person in the crew that I work with. I have a team that I work with. I'm the oldest person, and then the next person a few years younger than me. Other than that, ain't nobody over 42. They're all in their 20s and their 30s. I'm not afraid to allow them to excel. I'm not afraid to allow them to run. I'm not afraid to allow them to do their thing. Because if they do good, I look good. I ain't scared if you take my job. If you take it, I ain't supposed to have it. But if I doing what I'm supposed to do in teaching these young people and encouraging these young people to move up and do things, then I look good. I'm not a social media guru. I don't understand Twitter and Instagram and all that. I need young people around me to show me what to do. I don't understand what every young person thinks. I need young people and I listen to them. When my boys were growing up, you know, they in high school and they partying, nah, don't tell my ex this. It was an excuse to get out of the house and go out. But the point is, I made sure I'm the one to drop them boys to everything they went to. So at any one time, I could have anywhere from 8 to 9 young men in my Pajero, pile up in my Jeep, and I dropping them to parties and picking them up and all that. Yes, it was an opportunity to get out, but it was also an opportunity for me to understand what young people are about. It was an opportunity for me to hear them. I used to say, man, don't worry about me. I hear the talk. Just keep talking. And I never commented often. Very seldom I commented. I just listened. I got to know what that one thought. I got to know what Lamar thought. I got to know what Kevin thought. I got to know what Trey thought. I got to know what Vince. I got to listen to these young men and hear where their minds were, what they thought about. And you'd be surprised what they talk about. They ain't just talking about the gals. They ain't just talking about the party or the music. They talk about some real pertinent stuff. So I like to be around the young people to learn something. And I hope I impart some of my knowledge off on them. So I say all to say what I'm saying. I say all this, JJ, to keep the young people moving up. But we got to find our marriage in there. We got to find our transition point. We got to find our way, how we merge the young people into what the older folks or the Joshua crew are doing and understand some of the Moses crew still have something good to offer. I didn't understand when my daddy's telling me, man, you got to go to all these parties, parties coming. You have a party to go to, but you can be able to go. You ain't got to go to every party. And I thought I was missing something. They're like, you're older. I ain't missed a thing. If I don't go to a party today, one of my roommates from college called me and asked me to come go out later with him. I ain't reached yet. And guess what? I don't feel bad about missing it. And so we got to find the proper mix to get our young people to the right stage and not push the older folks out. Carly, you on the line. What you saying?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
All right. Now, let me say this.
Let's go ahead.
What time you will say get rid of the, what you all call the Joshua crew, the older people? We have a certain age bracket.
No. I'm saying not because I'm 50 or 55. You push me on the side. We know the retirement.
I'm still young.
We know the retirement age for government positions is 65. But does that necessarily mean at 65 I am finished? I am finished with life. Does that mean at 65 I still don't have knowledge to part on? Now, how I work right now, I'm happy the way I do it. I dwell and I work it, but I at 9 to 5 Monday to Friday all day. Because I'm enjoying life now, but not everybody's able to do that. So
yeah, but here's the problem. You see, you will continue over the ball in there. Take for instance, the PLP win the election. People them who been retire come back when they done 75.
Nah, I understand though. I have a problem with that.
Okay. That's why I'm trying to get across. And I think that's what you're calling was trying to get across.
And let me say this. I don't have a problem you bringing that 65, 70, 75-year-old back to be a chairman of a corporation or something because they have many years of knowledge that they could work with a diversified board. But if you're bringing me back to be the general manager at 70, that's a problem. You bring me back to run the show, the permanent secretary, I have a problem with that. But if you say I have the board of BP, and I'm just using an example, don't quote me on this. I have the board of BPL and I have a fellow 70, but he has extensive knowledge that he could bring, then I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem if you can bring a permanent secretary back to take a job that somebody, an undersecretary, could do, or you bring somebody to do a job that one of them young people could do. I have to agree with you on that. You good?
Anyhow, I don't want to say something like check him.
All right, tomorrow. Thanks for calling. Text. PM Davis is traveling too much. It's time that he stay in the Bahamas and govern this country properly and solve our many problems. A lot of people say that. And while I understand what the government is saying, and I want to say this much, yes, he has to travel, but not to every single thing. He has to go out, show his face, build our country up, but not to every single thing. If there's a conference that all the prime ministers go into and like that, show up, go to that. But there's a conference that a minister could deal with or a permanent secretary go, but stay home and deal with some issues here. Let me see you out doing some stuff here. Let me see you trying to put your face to some things that are going here that try to make it better. But when every time I hear the prime minister travel, if I open up the paper and twice of the week he travel, I gotta be honest, I have a problem with that. I have a major problem with that. And you may not agree with it. You may say, I only said it because of certain things. No, I say it because if it was Hubert Ingram, Perry Christie, Hubert Minnis, Brave Davis, Michael Pinto, and them traveling, I can say, hey, you're going too much. And I can say the prime minister, you're traveling too much. You need to be here. Let some ministers go. I remember in the last government, we used to give Minister Fred Mitchell hell for traveling a lot. They haven't even checking for him. As far as I know, he may be traveling more than he was. We don't know that. Because we're paying more attention to our prime minister traveling. And we ain't paying attention to better the foreign affairs minister traveling too much. Because I remember we used to, and think back now, you know, think back. When it was in 2000, 2007, 2012 to 17, we gave them a lot of hell about him traveling. But we're not even talking about him traveling now. And for us, I know, for us, we don't know. The minister could be traveling more than the prime minister. We just don't know. Because in the House the other day, they had questions there, and he wasn't there to answer the questions, so they delayed it. Prime Minister, you got to be here, bro. That's the bottom line. You got to be here. The idea of having to vote for commissioner, I for that. Who else will misspoke, wonder what Anton will say on that? Leave Anton, yeah? I don't agree with it. I know they do it a lot in the States. I do not agree with electing the commissioner of police because I fear that the wrong person would get elected. It won't be elected on whether that person could do the job. They won't be elected on whether that person is capable of doing the job. I think they'll be elected because they wear red or yellow or whatever color shirt. And we may not see them in that red or yellow shirt, but we know they're affiliated with that red or yellow shirt. We know, and trust me, this country is so small, we know, I can be nice, 80% of the people, we know what their politics is. We may guess this one, that be wrong, but we know hierarchy, we know what people, some most people politics is. Whether they are active member of the PLP or the FNM doesn't matter. They have a sympathy towards them. They have a sympathy towards the PLP, they have a sympathy towards the FNM. And people said, he with us? They with us? He's with us? Yeah, he with us. But he, you don't know, but that's, I have a problem with having an election to appoint a commissioner. Now maybe, nah, I was going to say maybe the police can elect their commissioner, but leave that one alone. Here we go. The PLP and Mr. Davis is on the countdown. Ain't long now. We see where his head is. Minister thought we would have got a next term too. We're going to show them time longer than rope. Uh-oh. I ain't comment on that because you ain't going to say Pearlie had something to say about that. So, we almost out of time. Going to take our next break, and we get next break, we get into the 4 o'clock hour, and then you got Talking Heads and Naughty. Naughty, I know you missed me, but oh, I'll be gone a week. I'll see you next Monday. This has been a good first day. We have a guest tomorrow, guest on Wednesday, or probably. Help my out people. I'm very glad, excited to be doing this for Chivago. Excited to be here. I think it's been some wonderful conversations, some good ideas come out. Anton, you could call any time. Don't worry about that. Sparky, you could call any time. I can tell you can't call now. I may cut you off if you're running on too long, but I ain't gonna stop you from calling me. I knew until I get used to you. So thanks for listening, everybody. We're gonna go to our last break, and then we'll go into the 4 o'clock news. This has been Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your boy Pearlie. I look forward to seeing you here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Take care. If you can't take care, at least be careful in what you're doing out there. God bless. Have a great afternoon.
Come celebrate Independence the BK way. Enjoy a flame-grilled beef patty topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, and our special tropical sauce on a brioche bun. Served with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation fit to celebrate every year. Top off the Independence celebrations with our new Guava Sundae or frozen guava lemonade. Our Independence King combo and treats are available for a limited time at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. You know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you been down the same road. Can't proclaim this issue.
Are you interested in the Bahamian economy? How about tips to improve your financial literacy? Tune into Guardian Radio's newest financial podcast series, C-File Talks. The podcast will provide listeners with their weekly dose of economic issues and solutions and the keys to financial freedom. C-File Talks will be hosted by an array of finance experts here to give honest and beneficial advice. You won't want to miss the C-File Talks podcast series, Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Hi Bahamas, it's Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright from the Doctors Inn on Guardian Radio 96.9. Join me every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian Society. Tune in at 6:30 p.m. Guardian 96.9, the Doctors Inn.
Hi, this is Maddie Boom, your host of Blind Canvas, the home of visual art and culture in the Bahamas. Tune in to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m.
There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation.
The Essentials with Hubert Edwards, Thursday nights live at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is your host, Valentino Brown, inside the inner city. Join us as we continue to tell our stories, challenges, talk about the history, and share our hopes and dreams. Tune into Inside the Inner City on Fridays at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And remember, the place in which I fit will not exist until I make it.